Hi, good morning. Why me? What's the point? Shall I continue? Well, these may be the questions dwelling into the minds of Minister Law. Now, Minister Law was a female minister who we worked along with when I did missions work in Vietnam. Now, she was appointed or sent out by the Mother Church to lead a church plant. So this church plant was planted at a location in the outskirts of the poverty area or at Ho Chi Minh City in the southern side of Vietnam. And it is more of the place where most drug lords or people you want to touch would, or know about would be in those areas. So because of her hard work in outreach, evangelism, teachings and preaching, and discipleship and caring, it garnered a lot of people who were the oppressed, the widows, the orphans, the misfits, the nobodies, and the poor people of that area. Now, you need to know she's the only staff there. She's the only minister there. So she's basically a one-man band. And she has like two very helpful deacons, but that's it. She had to handle the whole project basically mainly by herself. But that's a trouble. Because if you garner a lot of the poor people, the offering plate won't be a lot. So the Mother Church wasn't very happy with the results. Because the Mother Church saw that the offering plate was not as thick as theirs, or it's not matching with their results, because the Mother Church was mainly filled with middle class or professionals who could pay more offerings. And they don't like it with the church plan, how the offering is going, the results. Also, on the other hand, they went into some trouble with the government because they had a construction for the Sunday school classrooms. So their Sundays, so in the weather in Vietnam is quite humid, and it rains a lot, and there's a lot of typhoon, and it could get really hot and humid. The construction with the Sunday school is that they need a shield or like a window shield to place into the classroom so that to protect both the students or the members and the properties, the books and the furnitures from the rain and the typhoon. So by the way, their Sunday school is 7 a.m. So quit complaining that 9:30 is very early for us. Theirs is 7 a.m. So to them, 9:30 is the afternoon. So, however, but they have to endure Sunday school in this situation. But after they got the permit, they built the it's mobile, so it's portable, the window shield. But after they did the construction, the government say, "Well, you can't use those windows because we said so. Right? We don't like Christians. We don't like you guys. So we don't like your religion. So right now, I want to say no, and it is a no." So because of that, the windows had to be taken out, and they would have to risk with the open borders or for the Sunday school. Without protection during Sundays and other lessons activities. So both sides of the politics, the outside and inner politics, were all against her. the government was giving her trouble, is targeting her, and the church didn't like what she was doing, and they didn't like the results, and also they did not like how she got into trouble with the government, with the construction. So now, a little bit background with the Christian denomination in Vietnam. The only authorized denomination of the Protestant is the CMA, also known as Christian Missionary Alliance. So that's the only authorized Protestant denomination, which their church or minister law is part of. So in their doctrine, and in their rules and regulations, their denomination does not allow the churches to ordain female as pastors. They can only ordain male to be pastors. So she sits in a vulnerable position because she's a female and she's a minister. So what more better excuse for the mother church to replace her with, just give her, just blame on her, just complain, put all the complaints to her, and she would have to risk losing her position to a male pastor to be replaced. So how does she react? How would you feel if you were her? You're called to do all this stuff by God, but then results don't come and things are not going well. The outside force and the inside force are all putting their fingers at her. Nobody would want to be in her position. How would you feel? Now, in ministry, when we are in leadership or when we serve, oftentimes or most of the time, we will have to go through moments of being feeling lost, feeling very perplexed and confused, and start to become suspicious with our calling. Are we called to do this? Why me? And we start to be tempted to quit, to backpedal, to quit like Pliable in Pilgrim's Progress. But as God's servant, we have a need, we have a necessity to endure in ministry, particularly when we are going through complaints and wrongful blames. So our question today is, how can we endure when we go through complaints and wrongful blames, particularly when we are serving and leading in ministry? There was a reluctant leader in the past who didn't really want to take up the call from God when he was called. And he and his brother had to go through some trouble in their first mission that they were called by God to do. So first of all, we will see how this reluctant leader showed his class, his elegance, when he had to deal with wrongful blames. Patience and dependence on the Lord is key to endure in ministry. And you will have to carry the Christian fragrance when you have to deal with complaints. So our text today is Exodus chapter 5, entirety. So it has 23 verses 1 to 23. And in this part of the book, we see here Moses and Aaron were dealing with some dilemma in their first task. So let's all rise and stand and recite this passage together with me. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 to 23, in the version of ESV translation. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you may make them rest from their burdens. The same day Pharaoh commanded the tasks of the people and their foremen. They shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks. As in the past, let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words. So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least. So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, Complete your work, your daily task each day, as when there was straw. And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, Why have you not done all your task of making bricks today and yesterday, as in the past? Then the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, Make bricks. And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle, that is why you say, Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go now and work, no straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks. The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble, and they said, You shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day. They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them, as they came out from Pharaoh. And they said to them, The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. You may be seated. So Moses failed his first task with class, all right, with elegance. Let me unpack that a bit. So as you can see, Moses and Aaron, they went and meet Pharaoh as their first mission, their first task they are called to do. Now, when they met Pharaoh to negotiate to release the Israelites from slavery, it may sound like Pharaoh is innocent. Okay, because in verse 2, if you look at verse 2, or starting from verse 2, verse 2, Pharaoh would say, Well, I don't know your Lord. I don't know your God. Why would I want to release the slaves? Because it doesn't make sense to him. Suddenly, how would two random people came to him and say, Hey, release the free laborers so that they can worship our God? So it seems to make sense that Pharaoh would not release them, right? Why would he? But, however, for the word to know in Hebrew, has different nuances, have different meanings to it, or it can have different categories of meanings of the, for the word to know. It does not necessarily mean like he knows that person or that this person or that God or this God. For the word to know could also be interpreted or to be meant as to care about. So, in other words, it could be interpreted that Pharaoh does know who the Lord of Israel is, but he just doesn't care. Why would I care? Why would I care to hear his command and release my slaves? You also need to know that Pharaoh did believe that he was born through the sun god and his mother. So he is a god of Egypt. He did believe himself as a god in Egypt. So if he is a god in Egypt, why would he listen to the commands of your god or the other god to tell him what to do? He's Pharaoh. Now, although Moses and Aaron warned Pharaoh that if he doesn't listen or obey God's command and release the slaves, they will be punished. They will be punished. But instead, he refused to let them go. And in fact, he would think that they were lazy. They're just being lazy. Not just rejection from the request from Moses and Aaron, but they ordered the Israelites to work more, to have more labor, by not providing straws to, for them to make bricks. Now, that would mean that they would have they have to get their own straws for to make bricks. That means more labor, more time. Now, you may come to this point and question, well, this doesn't sound smart for Pharaoh, because it's not very efficient for the labor force. Why would you want to have them, why would you not provide straws for them to make bricks so that the construction go quicker, faster, and more efficient? But the point is not about efficiency from the Pharaoh's point of view. The point is that Pharaoh is showing his power, his dominance. He's abusing his power and showing that I'm the one in control, not you. And this task or this demand is an impossible one for the Israelites to fulfill. Because instead of straws, the Israelites have to find stubble instead of straw as their substitute for the straw. Because stubble, to get stubble is harder to get straw. It takes more time for them to get the stubble. And that means this is why they would have to delay or their work have to be delayed, or they are not able to meet their quotas, their work quotas on a daily basis because of the time that they need to spend to find stubble. They have to spend more time. Now, when they did not meet the quotas, who's the one to be punished? The foreman. The foreman would be the one who would be beaten by the taskmasters. Now, the foreman were the Israelite managers. They're like the ones, they're Israelites who are managing the other Israelite slaves. And the taskmasters were Egyptians who work for the, who are above the foreman, and they work for Pharaoh, directly from Pharaoh. So when the foreman were punished and were beaten, what was the foreman's response? The foreman's response was to complain. First of all, they went to appeal to Pharaoh, but nothing changed, and Pharaoh refused to make any changes. Now, when the foreman heard this, or when they failed to appeal to Pharaoh, they saw themselves in trouble. Now, why would they be in trouble? Now, the word for in trouble could also be interpreted as in the midst of evil circumstances. That means, if you read forward, they would possibly, most likely, be killed for not finishing their task. sooner or later. This was their concern and their anxiety. So when they failed to convince Pharaoh, immediately they went and turned to Moses and Aaron, who were right outside the court, and just point their fingers and blame it at them. But when Moses was blamed for failing his first task, what was his reaction? What was his response? His response was, he immediately turned to God for help. He prayed to God, complained to God, and blamed God, and petitioned to God about his concerns. He asked God why did he chose him, and to fail, not just to fail to deliver the Israelites from slavery, but in fact, the Israelites had to be punished. The situation got worse. Why? Poor Moses, this is just the beginning of his ministry. He would have 9 more times of failure and 40 years more of complaints in the wilderness. This is just the beginning. But you see here, Moses have this elegance, this class in him. He didn't went back to the foreman and complain or to argue or try to fight for the last words or show his anger or show his attitude or show his leadership power to empower them and tell them to shut up. He didn't say that. He was quiet, he was gentle, he was merciful, and he went straight to God for help. This is a sign of Moses being merciful and dependent on God. This is why he's described as the most humble man on earth. And that also differentiated himself as a leader, unlike the other Israelites who would complain and be just followers. So Moses failed his first task with elegance, with a Christian fragrance, with class. That's the character that he bears. Now, when we go through injustices or unrighteousness, what principles shall we hold? How should we respond? How are we to react? Now, patience and dependence on the Lord are the keys to endure in ministry. Serving God is very challenging. Nobody tell you it's easy. It's a very tough job. It's not an easy job. And it's not for everyone. Now, you must need to know that there are many pharaohs in ministry and in churches. There are many bullies among them, among the ministry field or in churches. There are many bullies that would often try to abuse their power that they have, and they would try to justify their abuse of power without even knowing at times. And they would hurt others. They serve as roadblocks for us to serve and lead for God. They serve as people who try to stop us, who try to tempt us to quit and run away. People will complain all the time without trying to understand us especially when we take up leadership. Especially when things don't go the way they wanted or when results are not met the way they are desired to have, because they will take success as granted. But unfortunately, there's no instant success in ministry. It's all about God's timing. Without these challenges, do you think we will depend on God? They're meant to be challenging so that we are to depend on the Lord. Now, our dependence on the Lord is very important when we are facing problems and difficulties in ministry, or when we serve in our lives. If we don't depend on Him, we won't remember Him. But the point is, we won't depend on Him if our ministry is not challenging or if it's so easy. If it's so easy, we'll depend on our own self and our own power and our own egos. But ministry is meant to be tough. Servanthood is meant to be challenging so that we may remember our Lord God, so that we are remembered to ask His help, to ask Him to work with us. Now, since He is He's the one who gave us the calling, that means He's the boss. He's the one that we are serving for. So it should be very natural for us to petition our concerns, our struggles to Him, because He is ultimately the one giving us the tasks to do. God is the only one who is reliable, not men, not anybody. Therefore, we have to trust on His promise. Now, if God gave us a task to fulfill, to do, as long as we are obedient, obey His instruction, obey His command, follow what He had told us to do, things may happen down the road, and God will allow these things to happen for His purpose. And if He allows that, just go with it, because He will be with us, and His promise will be fulfilled at the end, because He is God. So when you deal with complaints and wrongful blames, how should you respond as a leader or as a servant of God? If you're struggling with these issues, be patient and petition your concerns to God when you're stuck with complaints. Serving and leading for God is very tough. It's a very tough job. It's a very tough task. Ministry could be very discouraging and disappointing at times. And you will often have to suffer. Suffer is like a must. And nobody will feel sorry for you. It's guaranteed. You'll feel cold and lonely most of the time. So as God's appointed leader, people won't applaud or appreciate your effort, even when you do well. Don't even think about it. You only get complaints. You only get complaints. No appreciation will be given. No appreciation will be given. You always get complaints for doing the right thing, though, for doing the things that you're called to do. And that's weird, but that's just reality. It's very normal, and you'll just have to get used to it. The only way to stay in your class and differentiate yourselves as a leader when you face complaints is to stay silent and don't react towards them immediately. Have pity upon them. Be merciful. Be gentle and be kind. Look at Moses. Did he fight back or did he shout back? Did he articulate? Or did he try to fight for the last word? Did he empower the foreman when they blamed him? Did he throw a fit? No, he didn't. He was quiet. He was gentle. He was merciful. He depended on the Lord. He went to the Lord and prayed to Him. But is that character weak? In the secular world, it will be considered weak. But in the biblical teaching, in the teaching of the Holy Scripture, that's a character of strength. That's a sign of strength. Because you need to know, it's harder to have control of your power and not to use them when you have them. It's harder for you to control your anger when you can throw anger. It's actually easier for you to throw an anger at others. And that's a sign of strength. That's a sign of Christian fragrance. Next week is parents' meeting. It's probably the most exciting event of the church. It happens every other month. As Apple says, this is the most interesting, one of the most interesting thing meetings that we can have at our church. It's true, because if you attend, you would understand this sermon much clearer and much better, because all these characters come out. When you go to these meetings, you'll see there's these pharaohs, there are these four men, there's some Moses and Aaron's, and even some slave drivers and taskmasters. But speaking of complaints, before you complain about me for bringing this up, my point is that the reason why I bring it up is because the Old Testament text is not just a text that was written thousands and thousands of years ago for the ancient Israelites who were dwelling in the wilderness. It's not just an ancient text written just for the Israelites coming out from exile. It's not just a text written directly to the first century Roman, Greco-Roman era Jews and Greeks. It's not just written for the early church fathers and the reformers to establish their churches. But it's also a text that's written for you and I. It's very relevant because it's narrative. It's talking about people. And history tends to repeat itself. And after a while, things sound familiar. Everything sounds familiar to us. So if you want peace and have fun all the time, don't be in ministry. Don't be in ministry. Get out of here. It's not for you. It's not for everyone. That's why to be a servant of God, to be a leader, has to be an elect. An elect by God, not by people, but a direct election by God. And not everybody is elect. And not everybody is elect to be a servant of God, to be a leader for God. Petition to God when life's injustices and unrighteousness come upon you. If you're a Christian, nobody should remind you to pray when you're in struggle, when you're in trouble. That should be your instinct. It's like breathing. Nobody needs to remind you to breathe in order to live. Prayer is the same thing. It should be our instinct whenever. It should be our response whenever we are going through struggles, whenever we are going through troubles in life. God doesn't count on your results and your effectiveness and your charisma, right? People may care in the secular world how strong you are, how tough you are, how effective you are, how charismatic you are, how effective you are, or how much your results you can drive into. But does God care about that? He doesn't. All he cares about is your obedience to him. He doesn't care about your effectiveness and your charisma. None of that counts. At the end of the day, it's all about your obedience to him. And that's already a very tough task. His promise will come, all right? It will come, but only upon his own timing, not our own timing. And that's tough, because waiting is a very difficult thing for us, for you and I to do. But the time will come, but only in his time, not in our time. So since it's so difficult to wait, therefore be patient and petition your concerns to God when you're stuck with complaints, especially when you are leading and serving in ministry for God. Now, Moses showed us how elegant, how much of a different class he is, his reaction, which is a sign of strength in terms of the biblical teachings, not the secular teachings. When he had to deal with complaints and blames from the foreman, being patient and dependence on the Lord are keys to endure in ministry. And you will have to carry and live out that Christian fragrance, the class, the Christian attitude, the elegance, when you have to face wrongful blames and difficult complaints thrown upon you. Now, Minister Law would want to quit. Anybody who is Minister Law would want to quit so bad. With all the pressure that she has to get from the outside force and the inside force, the government is putting her on target, and the church is putting her on target. She has to risk losing her position to a male pastor, which is could be highly most likely if they continue to do so, if they move on. But what was her reaction? Her reaction was patience, quiet. She didn't respond immediately to them. And she depended on the Lord. She prayed. She relied on the Lord and continued to do what she's called by God to do, to expand the kingdom. And being quiet, being merciful, being patient, being pitiful to others and understanding from her side is a sign of strength. It's a sign of Christian character, strong Christian character. And that's a characteristic of an ideal disciple. In fact, her character showcased to me that she's actually tougher and stronger than any of the other male pastors that I see around her. And it may seem like her character is weak. It may seem that she had failed in ministry with all the troubles she have, but still remained gentle and quiet and merciful. But upon God's perspective, that's a sign of strength, not weakness. That's only weakness. People who see weakness upon her is just from the secular world. And the last time I've heard from Minister Law, she's still in this church plant, still teaching and discipling, caring, and outreaching, evangelizing, and building up the church among the marginalized people of the society in Ho Chi Minh City, continuing to do what God had called her to do. She remains a daily reminder to me, an encouragement to me, to wake myself up, to drag myself to come here to serve in a daily basis. And if she could do it, why couldn't I? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your text in Exodus, even though it's old, even though it's an ancient text written many, many thousand years ago. But we give thanks for how you had preserved your word and your text so that people and your followers and your servants and your leaders may be reminded of the character of Moses that you have imposed in him to show us what a strong Christian character should be, which is patient, merciful, kind, understanding, pity for others, and depending on the Lord when wrongful, unrighteous blames come upon us. May the Holy Spirit empower us and remember your message to us today so that we can endure in ministry, especially for those of us who are leading and serving you. And we pray in the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jason, for the word. Can we all stand for our response song?